Welcome to the Power Players Talk Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, Chris Molinari. Up close and personal conversations with powerful and successful people who give our listeners the inside look on what it takes to move from average and ordinary to the top of your game. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Power Players Talk Show on buildingfortunesradio.com. Now, on to our show with your host, Chris Molinari.
Welcome to our show, and today, our guest is Mark Hankins, and he's really more than a guest. He's on a lot, so he might as well, you know, call him my co-host, I guess, sometimes. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about something very interesting, so Mark, welcome to the call.
Oh, well, thank you.
Or the show.
I'm happy to be aboard, and I'm anxious to find out what the interesting topic is.
Well, the topic is white supremacy being the biggest existential threat in the United States to date, which is both from Biden and both from Christopher Wray, which really confounds me. I just, you know, he Christopher Wray especially, and Biden, but he doesn't really know what's going on, but Christopher Wray continues to say that Antifa is no threat because it's not a cohesive organization. Well, I beg to differ. But anyway, so what's your take on it?
Well, I think white supremacy is the name that has been assigned to what we used to call patriotism. And that is, across the board, anybody who is African-American, anyone who's Asian-American, anyone who is Hispanic-American, who believes in the concept of this country as it was founded, is by definition also a white supremacist. And the 1619 Project has redefined the founding of this country as a slavery operation and as not intending freedom for all humanity, but as intending to perpetuate slavery by separating from Great Britain as it existed at the time, and or England, and continuing to hold slaves and intending to do so in perpetuity. And the history that we see with the Civil War, all of that, all of the changes, the civil rights movement, everything doesn't mean a darn thing because we're not Marxist. We haven't totally accepted cultural and economic Marxism, and we have not accepted the global project that has been ongoing, and we must be driven down. That's what's going on. That's why it's called white supremacy. That's why it's considered an existential threat to this country, or rather what they're turning this country into, which is a lumpen part of the rest of the world, a series of zones or provinces rather than 50 sovereign states and territories. And the project is to end the nation state as we know it. And the main obstacle to that is Russia, because China will go along with it. And they expect India to go along with it. So here we are.
Well, okay, so why wouldn't Russia go along with it? I mean, I kind of understand that Putin thinks the whole thing is stupid and that, well, we can talk about Biden meeting Putin later, but why specifically wouldn't Putin go along with it?
Well, I think of them in the sense of there's a saying in inventory management, first in, first out. And that's how you account for some inventory. They were the first to go in and go under this. And eventually they realized they didn't like it. So they cleaned it out. And actually, you know, other nations of Eastern Europe had, in fact, thrown off the chains first. But the big one, the big kahuna was Russia. And when Russia got loose from it, and continued to stay out of its grip by, in fact, you know, throwing off the Wall Street people who went in there and tried to create a situation where Russia was having more of same, they became the international pariah, and that's what they continue to be to this day. Should the United States do the same thing, we will also be an international pariah. We will be a target, and the thing that I think the globalists most fear is that once, if the United States succeeds in that, that other nations will begin to look askance at what the project is all about and begin to pull away from it themselves. And you see some tendency toward that. You see nations like Poland and Hungary and Austria bucking large aspects of the international program. You see Switzerland saying, hey, we're not going to join the European Union because you guys want to open borders and want to, you know, stuff all sorts of migrants into our country.
Right. Well, so, I read somewhere that a lot of, I don't know who it is, in France are going behind the scenes and bringing more refugees into their country.
Oh, this is all done under the cover of night. They fly them in at 2 a.m. to cities in this country. The Biden administration is doing that right now. It was caught on tape.
Wow. You know, like the 1619 Project, first of all, it's a lie. It was made up by, what was it, some college professor or reporter or something? I forget it. But anyway, people like, you know, really intellectuals like Shelby Steele and Carol Swain, black intellectuals, many, many of them are saying this is just not true, it's ridiculous, and it's the left using the Pravda media to spread these lies. And, you know, it's like Don Lemon. I don't watch his show, but I've seen snippets of the things he says. And, you know, several months ago he was talking about, you know, the most dangerous thing in America are white men, although he's married to one or living with one or whatever. I guess he gets a pass or something. But, you know, it's like Biden signing the Asian anti-hate bill and at the same time mentioning how they will not put up with white supremacists in America. But oddly enough, most of the Asian attacks or attacks on Asians, usually very vulnerable Asians, like, you know, older women or older men, are done by blacks, and they're street thugs, and they're the ones that are doing it. But that's never mentioned on, I mean, it's kind of mentioned on Fox, but never do you ever see that or hear that on MSNBC or CNN.
The Asian community is very conservative, and the idea is to peel those conservatives away from what is seen as the white supremacist vision, because Asians, you know, since the time of the coolies building the railroad came to an end, and since they went and they hired the best attorneys and did all of it on their own, but they went to court and they defeated things like, you know, racist laws against a wooden laundry buildings. The all of the Asian laundry buildings were wooden. All of the Anglo laundry buildings were made of, you know, brick. And the city passed a law that said you couldn't run a laundry in a wooden building, ostensibly for safety reasons. But of course,
right,
it ran all the Asians out of business, and they went and sued, and they won it. Things like that. You know, it pretty much became clear the Asians aren't going to take any guff, and they joined in the economic benefit of the United States of America, which we can see that was not afforded to African Americans. And I will grant you that horrible things like the Tulsa and Wilmington incidents occurred, Rosewood in Florida. There was another town near Orlando that was destroyed. So these depredations, these horrible things did occur. But what's happening now is you're taking a scab that is about to fall off on its own, and you're picking at it. And you're picking at it based on things that statistically hardly ever occur, which is unjustified killings of African Americans. Now, what does occur is there is policing in African American neighborhoods that is done for profit. And you saw, explosions in places like that suburb of St. Louis, where the Michael Brown incident occurred. So those communities have had to reform what they did police-wise, and reform is what needs to happen. What they're driving at, though, is they're driving at federalizing police in cities and taking away that local control. So these are all elements of the globalist communist agenda. It continues to shamble forward below the radar of most Americans, and Americans don't know what they would do if they could, see this, because they don't live in those inner cities, and they're watching how those inner cities are also used as centers of fraudulent votes to take over beyond those cities, to take over the state houses, and to take over, of course, the federal government. This is all very ugly. This is all run by people like George Soros, Chaim Sabin, who's kind of the backup Soros, and it's going to be the ultimate disaster and the ultimate cause of a Russian-type revolution in this country if Americans don't stand up against it, and if Americans don't join with people of other races and have constructive dialogue before these people are able to whisper in their ears.
Exactly. Like Ferguson, that was, pardon me, the rioters were brought in from out of town on the most part and destroyed basically most of the city business area in Ferguson that, there was several older black women that were shown after everything kind of calmed down, but she said they burned down our businesses, and I can't get to the grocery store, or I'll have to take a bus 20 miles, or, I don't understand why, well, aside from the fact that they're out of town and they don't care, but that's when Black Lives Matter really got it, that they could have some power, because they took people in, by bus or plane or whatever, plane, trains, and automobiles, and they went in and they just caused massive destruction. They started worming their way into the black community, and it's just basically gotten worse and worse and worse, although at this moment what I'm understanding is that, after Patrice Cullors was found to have purchased $3.2 million in properties and more, and then, all kinds of things were being said, and so she resigned from the Black Lives Matter world headquarters, or whatever you want to call it. But I understand that their approval rate has dropped measurably from what it was a year ago.
Oh, when something turns out to be a scam, people tend to walk away from it. They do.
Well, unfortunately, enough people don't know it's a scam yet, but I think it's getting out there. But the other thing is now, I'm kind of maybe moving on to something else kind of quickly, but it's critical race theory. This Ibram Kendi and all these other people, this white woman wrote a book about racism and how not to be racist or something like that. I forget her name. But it's just absolute word salad. I mean, it just really doesn't make any sense, and it's stupid. But they're getting wealthy by getting into schools, and I heard Ibram Kendi got paid $20,000 for a 40-minute Zoom call, which is astounding to me. But the challenge is that the teachers' unions, of course, are in running most of schools, and they believe in this garbage because they're basically, in my opinion, a communist organization. And so they want to go in and ruin the lives of children whose parents don't think that way.
And this is this has been a particular problem in Loudoun County, Virginia, which is relatively near D.C., and but has a conservative base of residents that people would like to change. And they have had to find out that their public schools were infested with this, and they're up in arms against it. And the ones who are in favor of it have kind of crossed some lines. They basically, you know, put together a spying operation on parents, and they, you know, we're marking parents down as, oh my gosh, they're neutral on the subject. You know, it really, if it were not so deadly serious, it would be a farce. And we have to look for this happening in other communities. Now, there are places where you really, or it's too far down the pike to do a lot about it. You know, cities like San Francisco and New York.
Right.
This is what passes for day-to-day, you know, day-to-day intellectual vapidity that everybody's signed up to. But in the rest of the country, it is not, and it needs to not be. And people need to pay attention to it.
Exactly. And we need to take a very short break. So, Peter, let's just take a little, whatever.
You're listening to the Power Players Talk Show on Building Fortunes Radio with Chris Molinari. This special segment can be heard again anytime by going to www.buildingfortunesradio.com and clicking on the Power Players Talk Show radio segment. Listen in often and get to know Chris Molinari and her guests. Thanks for listening in. And now back to our show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And I'm here with Mark Hankins, and we're chatting about any number of things, including white supremacy, Antifa, BLM, all the lovely things, oh, critical race theory, all the things that are going on in our country to change us into something that we're not. And we hope that we can kind of nip it in the bud in some way. One thing that I was kind of looking up, white supremacy and, you know, violence or whatever, and one article was talking about the murders by extremists in 2018. Now, you know, extremists can be, you know, I mean, it's subjective. Okay, were they marching in white hoods? No. So how do you know they're supremacists? But I guess maybe some people know. But in 2018, there were 50 extremist murders. In 2018, 50. Now, of course, one is too many. But I don't know, but aren't there like hundreds, sometimes 1,000, 700 every weekend by black-on-black crime in Chicago, and then we go on to all the other blue states where there, you know, on a monthly basis there could be thousands of black-on-black deaths. So I guess that's not important, but, you know, to certain people, but if only 50 deaths or murders were in 2018, again, that's too many, but what's the backstory behind them? And 50 does not seem like a lot to me, comparatively speaking.
Well, it isn't. And the black-on-white crime is never seen as, you know, having any ideology to it, although it occurs all the time, every day. And it is just seen as the, you know, lashing out of the you know, group that is dehumanized and that is kept down. And if you look at what is called white supremacist crime, in a lot of cases you'll find people like boogaloos involved. Boogaloos are accelerationists, and they're on the left, and they believe that that they can cause the, you know, overthrow of the American government and the substitution of a leftist government by causing a race war, and they're pushing for it. But
right.
It's not because
right.
of the white supremacists.
Right.
Although they're lumped in with the white supremacists for government statistical purposes. So it's as though, you know, if you had the Mad Magazine, Black Spy and White Spy, it's as though you have Black Spy activity that's being attributed to the White Spy. It is not the case. And these folks, you know, they shoot African-American officers when they can. They're very selective and they're very pernicious. And they're out there. And they look and act just like the white supremacists that, you know, people are concerned with, but they're a very different animal. So we have a lot going on. We have a lot of false leads. We have a lot of falsehoods that are being told by our own government, which is horribly penetrated by hard leftists, by people who are ascribed to the Council on Foreign Relations, Chatham House type Fabian socialist agenda, and they are steadily working their wiles on this nation and have been for decades. And if you look back, you know, the time to nip it in the bud was 50 years ago with Joseph McCarthy, who was proven correct by the opening of the Soviet archives after the Russians fell, and nobody knows it except perhaps the author Diana West, who has written extensively on the subject.
Well,
so,
it seems to me, okay, when Ferguson happened, that was kind of the first big, you know, it got a lot of attention because of Black Lives Matter. But, it, you know, it never went beyond that unless, of course, it always had to be a white officer shooting a black male or female, whatever. But when the George Floyd thing happened, it was like, I hate to say this, the planets were aligned for BLM and their ilk and Antifa, and it was like, pardon the expression, all hell broke loose. And then we had the protests and all the peaceful protests where they were just burning down police stations and, you know, just stuff like that. But MSNBC and CNN never said a thing about it. I want to say tell you one thing. I was watching, you know, during the riots and mostly Antifa playing their little games in Portland and Seattle or whatever. But it was when the most burning down and looting was going on that summer of last year. And or was it the year before? Oh, my gosh. It must have been the year before because last year was all about COVID, right? But anyway, boy, time flies. So I was watching Vox, and I was watching the reporter standing, and behind him was four or five buildings burning, I mean really burning. And he was pointing out everything and talking about it, and then he'd walk down the street, and there was another group of people, you know, like Black Lives Matter were a lot involved in burning down buildings. It wasn't only Antifa. When it was in, like, New York and, what was it, New York, St. Louis, and I forget the other. But anyhow, so then I thought, well, I'll switch over to CNN. I just wanted to see what they were saying. And there was a guy standing there, but he'd gone down a side street. And he said, well, as you can see, there are very few people causing any problems. These are just peaceful protesters going home, you know, and there's really not much going on. And I turned back to Fox, and there was another building on fire and more looting. And, you know, so it's just unbelievable to me that CNN and MSNBC can get away with it. But I have family members who actually are fearful, and they're intelligent people. They're not stupid. they're so afraid of hearing something that's not what they believe in their minds that they refuse to watch Fox because if you didn't know, Fox is all conspiracy theories. And I have said to them, look at Fox during some kind of an event and then go over and see if you can even find it on CNN and MSNBC. And I was literally told that the big Antifa thing in Portland was not Antifa. They fight anarchy. Those were white supremacists that were burning down buildings in Portland and causing chaos. And I thought, we're completely lost. If half of the United States refuses to believe the truth, you know, but then they always say, well, that's your truth. Well, no, actually, maybe it's my lion eyes. I don't know. But I know you have liberal friends, and I'm sure that one in particular, I doubt very seriously, watches Fox at all.
Well, I don't watch Fox at all.
Well, I mean, I don't watch it all the time. I barely watch it. I kind of like Tucker, okay? But this was when everything was going on, so I wanted to see. Now I'll watch, put it on OAN or whatever, which, of course, the left still says OWN and Newsmax. They're also liars. You know, of course they are. So where do you get your news then?
Well, I do see some OAN, but Fox has the children of Rupert Murdoch are running Fox.
Oh,
now.
I know that. I know. And they've gone left.
Very squishy. You know, they want to be invited to the right parties. So
right.
they don't make the waves like they used to, and they're weeding out the people like Tucker.
Tucker cracks me up.
He's such a moneymaker. But, you know, Hannity and Tucker are kind of the last bastions over there. And,
right.
It isn't what it used to be. They've either reined them in or gotten them off.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have 1 minute left, so maybe you could wrap it all in a little package and put a bow on it.
Well, you're not going to be able to do anything on social media because social media is being tightly controlled. The biggest DeSantis group on Facebook disappeared the other day. A few new ones sprung up, but they're small. So I started one. I probably won't go anywhere, but it's called Deplorables for DeSantis. Deplorable being Florida Deplorables. And we have to find each other. We have to work with each other. We have to actually get things happening. And we have to realize that unless we do so, this country is going right down the tubes, and it will
exactly
in a history that doesn't even exist anymore because everything will be rewritten as Orwell predicted.
Exactly. Well, so, anyway, it's 3:28, and we want to get this all over the place by Peter. So thank you very much for being with me today, and me being with you, of course. And let's maybe do it again next week. We'll come up with something else.
All right. Thank you. I look forward to doing it again.
All right. Thanks, Mark, and goodbye, everybody. See you next week.
Next week it is.
You've been listening to the Power Players Talk Show on buildingfortunesradio.com with Chris Molinari. Up close and personal conversations with powerful and successful people who give our listeners the inside look on what it takes to move from average and ordinary to the top of your game. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more Power Players Talk Show segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Thanks for listening. Spread the word. Tell a friend. Join our newsletter and go make a difference in your world.